I try to not keep you too long because I know there are people who want to participate in that ride for Jenny today. Appreciate you being here this morning and attentive. I hope God has spoken to you through the music and prayer time. That's our prayer, that God will use every single part of the service. A number of people missing today. Be in prayer for the fall and winter as we seek God's direction. Been praying a lot about some of the outreaches of the church and developing those and what God would have us do. Want to stay on track with the vision. And as you know, we've just opened the teen church and we're excited about that. And a lot of neat things in the works there. And we're, went away. We're having troubles the last couple of weeks. Thanks, Robbie. Praying about the rescue resort, the home for women who need help, assistance, that have been through difficult times and need healing. Praying about just a lot of things that God confirmed. Areas maybe we won't do it exactly like we did before when we've done things, various outreaches other times, but when I was away in Colorado, God definitely confirmed some things and type of people we were to reach out to. And as Kevin said, the James service is in 2 weeks. And this week, this time, James service, we're going to do something a little bit different. A lot of times we'll have in guest musicians and this and that. But this particular James service, we're going to feature a lot of the songs that Kevin has written. And we're going to have a majority of the music be those songs, take advantage of he and Abby being here and home from Haiti. And then we may have Brian's brother, Brandon, we're going to check in that, come and visit that Sunday too and sing two or three songs, old favorites that they used to do together. So we'll have special music, a testimony, and then a meal together. And so be thinking about who you could invite on that special Sunday. The story in 2 Kings 4 has been on my mind. We've actually been talking about Elisha in the mentoring group on Tuesday. And last week, I gave a simple message, but yet I think very direct message about the times in which we live and how we respond to what we see happening around us. And still feel I'm to continue today. Simple message today. If I were to give a title that was up on the wall, Settling for Less, and yeah, it says Settling for Less the time. Part A and Part B of the message today, and it's a very simple message, but if I were to give a title to the first and second half, I would call the first half Settling for Less, and the second half Emptying Our Jars. And I want to just say a couple things about, thank you, Settling for Less. Oops, it went away. We might have to settle for less and not use this morning. We'll see. I have a heaviness in my heart whenever I say a line like settling for less. I just have a heaviness in my heart. It grieves me. I think that's the right word. That isn't a word we use all the time, but it grieves me to see people settle for less than they could be. My passion is to see people grow and develop. See people come out of their past, put their past behind them, move ahead, become what God would have them be. And it is incredible what you can become with the enabling of the Holy Spirit. Incredible what you can become. And I always have a sense of sadness when I think of the concept, no matter how we would say it, settling for less, I've chosen to say this morning, or living below our potential, missing the mark and what God would have us be and do in the kingdom, because a lot of it is our choice. You can choose to seek the pearl of great price with all of your heart. But it's a choice you have to make and no one else can make for you. It's the wrestling match that Jacob had where he had to wrestle out those issues between him and God that only he could wrestle out. But I guess my desire would be to see you choose to go for all that God has for you and don't settle for less. I like the saying, and I sent it to someone this week that needed to hear it. Don't give up what you want most for what you want now. Don't give up what you want most for what you want now. Immediate gratification is the song of our world. Go for it. What you want, grab it, grab a hold of it. Don't give up what you want most for what you may think you want now. The enemy is great at dangling things in front of us that you need this, you need that, and our passions, our desires, our lusts, and all those things can take us all kinds of directions. Keep your eye on the prize. Hebrews chapter 11, keep your eyes on fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Don't settle for less. It's sad when we settle for less. Luke chapter 18. Hey, it's still up there. Luke chapter 18 is a sad story of a man who settled for less because his material things meant so much to him. I thought I'd try to read that thought in my glasses, but I just changed my mind. It's all blurry. I got to have eye surgery, by the way, this winter sometime. Whoever dreamed Tom would be old enough to have cataracts? Luke 18, 18 through 24. Luke chapter 18. A certain ruler said, Teacher, came to Jesus, Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, don't commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother. And the rich young ruler answered and said, All these I have kept since I was a boy. When Jesus heard this, he said, You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. When he heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. Settling for less than what God has for you. This particular man, it was Jesus saw the root of the problem, and in this particular man's case, it was his material things and his wealth that were his God. That had become his pearl of great price that he was chasing. And he went away sorrowfully when Jesus said, Sell all that you have, because that, I don't know that Jesus requires that of everyone. But this particular man, that was his God. Settling for less than God would have you to have. Where are you on that? I want to read now the story in 2 Kings, and I believe it's up here. 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. I love this story. We shared it last week, went a different direction last week. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he reverenced the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. I have there on the wall, a miracle comes from our place of desperation. A miracle comes from our place of desperation. We find this widow. Husband had died, and they were going to take her sons as slaves. And Elisha replied to her, How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a little oil. And Elisha said, Go around and ask all of your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour oil into all the jars. And as each is filled, put it to one side. And she left him and afterwards shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." And they replied, "There's not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God and said, and he said, "Sell the oil and pay your debt. You and your sons can live on what is left." Settling for less. Interesting that she was instructed to go to the neighbors and get empty jars. Set them out and begin pouring. How many did she get? We don't know exactly how many she got. But the interesting thing is that when they came to the end of the number of jars she had borrowed, the oil stopped flowing. How long would it have flowed? Maybe she borrowed 15 jars, I don't know. But when they filled the 15th one, the oil stopped flowing. In this simple story, there's a powerful principle. And I need to ask you, how many jars are you putting out? How many jars are you putting out? I am finding in the senior years of my life, the autumn season, which is the prettiest, that God is calling me to put out more jars. I want to be an absolute champion in the kingdom, not for gain or glory or credit or... I believe that you can be a man after God's own heart, and I believe that He will continually shape you and form you and develop you, but I believe it has to do with how many jars are you willing to put out? The principle here, the oil kept flowing as long as there were jars, but the oil stopped when there were no more jars. How many jars are you putting out? Simple truth. But the last couple of weeks, God has been putting His thumb in my back and saying, put that before your core group. Put that before your church. Because what can be done here in the kingdom as we face a difficult future? What can be done here in the kingdom will have to do with how many jars you're putting out now. Don't settle for less. Don't settle for less than God would want to do in your life. So she's pouring the oil. Can you see her? And maybe there's 15, maybe there's 18, maybe there's 20. I don't know. She's pouring the oil into the jars and they're filling up. And then she moves to the next one and fills it up. And can you see the smile on her face as the prophet had told her? It was at their point of desperation where the miracle came. Her sons were going to be sold as slaves to pay the creditors. Her husband was gone. And Elisha said, borrow jars. Not just a few. I don't know how many she borrowed. Let's say it was 15. And she pours the 12th one. And the boys are like, wow, this is unreal. Look at this, because we can sell this oil. And this is going to provide. And the instructions were to sell the oil and they could live off what was left after they paid the debt. And she pours the 13th one. And she pours the 14th one. And she pours the 15th one. And the oil is flowing and the oil is abundant. And there's no end to the oil. For the oil is representing for the Holy Spirit. Throughout the scripture, as you know, oil represents the Holy Spirit. But it's interesting, they get to the 15th, and can you see it half full, three quarters full, moving up toward the brim, and she looks and says, are there any more? And they said, no, that's all the jars we have. And the oil stopped flowing. How many jars could they have filled? How many jars am I putting out? I believe that God wants to fulfill the prophecy in the book of Joel that is repeated then in the book of Acts. Do you know that prophecy? Let me say that again. I believe that God wants to fulfill the prophecy given in the book of Joel and repeated again in the book of Acts, that in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. And on your sons and daughters I will pour out my spirit. But it has to do with how many jars we'll put out. Don't live below your potential. Scripturally correct it is, for in 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says we have this treasure in jars of clay. Earthen vessels, the King James Version says. We have this treasure. What treasure? The oil, the Holy Spirit. What treasure? The oil, the Holy Spirit. We have this oil, this treasure in earthen vessels, or the NIV says, other translations say, jars of clay. How many jars are you putting out? Don't settle for less. Now, emptying your jars. That's the second part I want to talk to you about. Emptying your jars. Interesting, put out empty jars. The emptying process I have written here is a painful process. Stay with me, you'll get something out of it. The emptying process is a painful process. Empty jars. The Lord can't fill me with the sweet oil of the Holy Spirit if I'm full of rebellion. You with me? The Lord can't fill me with the sweet oil of the Holy Spirit and that sweetness that'll come out and bloom in flowers in my life and give fragrance to all I do. He can't do that if I'm full of rebellion. He can't do that if I'm full of anger. And I think it's very timely in this congregation with a number of new converts and 18 or so having been baptized just in recent weeks and another 5 that want to be. I think it's so timely to whet your appetite with how many jars will you put out, but then talk about that painful process of emptying the jars. Thinking back early this morning, I believe my years at Kroger's, 17, my years working at Kroger's was emptying the jars. Maybe you're in a process right now that's very painful. Many of you have made commitments or deepened your walk with the Lord in recent months. I believe following that cry for God's Spirit, following that cry, that request for God's Spirit, begins an emptying out process. And I know that this is happening in some of your lives. And it's the reason you're having some of the struggle you're having is because God is seeking to empty you out so that He can fill you to a fuller capacity. Don't settle for less. There has to be the emptying process to have the empty jar. I believe with all of my heart that my 17 years at Kroger's must have had a lot of problems, huh? Took 17 years. I believe that my 17 years at Kroger's were an emptying out process. God wanting to use me and putting me in a business where I was with the general public and then moved me into a supervisory position and having to settle problems between union and company and all kinds of issues. And it seemed as I look back that the crew that I worked with was always rotating and he put me with all different kinds of people. And at the time, it didn't make sense to me. And at the time, I thought, well, God, I've been wanting to go into the ministry. Why isn't this working out? Only to see later that I was going through the painful process of emptying. When I was real young and early on the job, I didn't know that I was full of anger. I knew something was wrong. I knew I was on edge all the time. Anger emptied. So how does God get us to empty our anger? And this might be a little bit of a painful message for some of us, but I'm going to just have raw honesty with you to try to call you into the emptying process, because I think that's where a number of you are right now. You first come to Christ, it's exciting, and the news of the oil and putting out jars is an exciting thing. But when God begins putting the squeeze on and begins emptying out, that can be painful. I didn't know as a young man that I was full of anger. I knew that something was wrong. I knew I was on edge. I knew it didn't take much to set me off. And I remember one time years ago in the produce department at Kroger's, a handful of you that have been with us a long time know this story, but the rest of them don't. A guy I worked with, which was a very difficult person to work with, often put me in situations that made me angry, but I was stuffing it all the time. He came back and needed some carts for his own product and threw everything on the floor that was on the cart I had that I had prepared and wrapped. We used to wrap produce, shrink wrap it. And I had wrapped and prepared a whole lot to take out to the sales floor, and he wanted that cart and he pushed it off on the floor and took the cart. I didn't know how angry I was. I'm talking about the emptying process. I was a Christian at the time. I was leading a Bible study in my home, and there were a number of people coming, and there were sometimes 20 to 30 people coming, and we got some folding chairs we borrowed, and we were having a Bible study in our home, and I was doing some guest speaking out in churches and was hoping I could take a church and really get somewhere in the ministry. And so the people I worked with knew I professed to be a Christian, and I won't go into all the gory details, but I went over and grabbed this guy and shoved him up against the wall. You know the old saying, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. Well, I had plenty of fight in those days, and I wasn't a very big guy, but I remember shoving him up against the wall, and he just kind of looked at me, froze, and I told him he best leave my stuff alone. I was tired of his nonsense. Well, I won't go into all the gory details, but the union got involved and the company got involved, and I almost lost my job, and I had young children at home. The emptying process. The next morning after that incident, when I came to my senses and realized I'd lost my temper and thrown an awful fit and hurt my Christian testimony with all those I worked with at Kroger's, very humbling experience, and was called in by the manager, and he didn't know if he could save my job or not because I had actually physically taken a hold of somebody. After God, you know, God's patient. He just lets you settle. He doesn't jump all over you and shake your finger in your face. He just lets you wrestle. Remember Jacob's wrestling match? He just lets you wrestle with things. And I wrestled with that all day and all night. And in the quietness, when the emotions were settled down in the night, that night, God spoke to me and said, son, you got an anger problem and you can't be ministering like you want to with that in your heart. And it uncovered the reason for that anger. And sometimes God will allow you to be pressed into a corner and cause you to explode to reveal what's inside. That's a valuable thing. You can shake your head this way. That's a valuable thing. Oh, Pastor, I blew it. You blew it. Yes. In my estimation, I blew it. But what was inside had to come out and be exposed to empty the jar, because you can't fill a jar with the sweet, precious oil, the sweet, fragrant oil of the Holy Spirit when it's full of anger. You with me? Now, can I say something there just for a minute? Don't beat up on yourself this morning. God's very, very patient. We live in a stressful world. Pastor Bishop, you say you try to put more in a quart and a quart, it'll either run over or break the bottle. People live under a lot of pressure, so don't beat yourself up. Maybe you went off on your wife this morning because you worked 90 hours this week and you're worn out. I don't think everything's a sign of a deep inner cancer of anger, but I know in my heart I had anger. And what came out of that is I started saying, Lord, why did I blow up like that? What caused me to do that? And as clear as anything, God spoke to me and said, it's the axe you've been grinding with your brother and your dad for the last 10 years. Okay, Lord. That explosion revealed to me, as I began saying, Lord, what is that thing in my heart? It revealed to me that the anger I had at my older brother Paul over jealousy for years and the anger I had toward my father was what was fueling that. And can we have a little free counseling lessons for a minute? If this describes any of you, ask the ultimate counselor. The ultimate counselor. God, shine your light inside and show me what's fueling this. What is this? I've seen wonderful breakthroughs in my life. Wonderful breakthroughs. I've seen people that couldn't hardly live with anybody that were in messes, and one day they would break down and say what happened to them as a child and reveal it and come out and sob and cry. And from that point on, they said, I don't know what changed, but something was broken and I am different. The emptying process is painful. But you can't fill the jar with the precious, sweet, fragrant oil unless you empty it first. Does that make sense? It's got to be emptied. And I believe the years at Kroger's were years when God was putting me in situations and putting the squeeze on to bring out things. That explosion there in the produce department and that physically grabbing of a man and nearly losing my job brought me to a place where I drove to Merrillville to the Holiday Inn. I'll never forget it. And we met at a table by the swimming pool up there at the Holiday Inn at Merrillville. And my brother and I met and we had a talk and hugged each other and cried. And I told him I had despised him for years. And he said he knew that. And it resulted in some conversation with my father of admitting what I was feeling. And that emptying process is painful. But God replaces it then with our request. He replaces it with the sweet oil of the Holy Spirit. Let me back up. It's awesome to come to God. And we hear about the oil and we're like, yeah, I'm in. I want oil. I'm in. We hear about all that God can do with the anointing and what he can do in his life and the pearl of great price and heaven and, oh, I'm in. Put out jars. Don't just put out a few. Put out a bunch of jars. Keep putting out more jars, but we got to be empty jars. And that emptying process is painful. And if you set your jaw and refuse the emptying process, you'll never be what you could be. You will settle for less. You get it? Don't settle for less. Don't settle for less. I got so desperate with myself, desperation brings a miracle. You with me? Desperation, they're going to take my boys as slaves. Desperation brings a miracle. I got so desperate with myself, I said, Lord, I don't care if you have to mash me. Make me into something you can use, because I realized that there was such potential with the Holy Spirit. Don't underestimate what God can do with your personality and your being and the person that you are with oil. Oh, jar 16, jar 18, suppose she put out 52. Suppose she put out 127. Suppose she put out 900 jars. It quit flowing. We stopped, put the jars out. Got to put out some empty jars. And folks, I think we're going through, a lot of us, the emptying process. I have written here, don't rush the process. Oh, Pastor, I can't believe God hasn't used me already. How's he missed out on all my talent? I can't believe he hasn't used me already. Don't rush the process. Don't rush the process. I did. I was constantly crying out to the Lord and saying, Lord, I want out of here. I don't like this place. And finally, God said to me, you learned to minister here, son, or you're never going to be in the ministry. And I started approaching the company different. I started saying, Lord, give me opportunities in the break room to talk to people. Lord, today I'm going to take my coffee from the deli at break and I'm going to go out and sit on the cement flower bed out front. Bring me people. And I started seeing miracles happen. And then I wasn't so sure I wanted to leave at one point. I was like, man, God is using me here. The manager of the store even came and said, you don't know it, but you're the store counselor. But before that, I was too caught up in, why isn't God using me? Hasn't he seen all the things I can do? Got to get empty to that stuff. I don't have pride up there, but boy, that's one's got to be emptied. That's one's got to be emptied. The emptying process I have here, don't rush the process. He puts the squeeze on and he exposes what's in us. Anger's got to be emptied. Our ugly past has to be emptied. You're not going to get the oil, the fullness of the oil, if you can't let go of your past. Our ugly past has to be emptied. You got to get past your past. Okay? You got to get past your past. Oh, God will use them. Oh, I can see how God would use them, but you don't know what I've done, where I've been. We got to get past our past. Not going to spend a long time on that. I have here, we all nailed Jesus to the cross. We all nailed Jesus to the cross. All of our sins. Some sins are more obvious, some are more known in the community. But all of our sins nailed Jesus to the cross, and we have to get past our past. Well, I'll just put out three jars. All the stuff I've done, all the messes I've made, I'll try to put out three jars. How many jars will you put out? One of them has to be emptied of your past, that's for sure. Emptying rebellion. I have written here, don't hand the Lord a jar full of rebellion and expect a filling of the sweet oil. Said that a little earlier in the message. The years at Kroger's, I think God was dealing with my rebellion. I grew up in the 60s and 70s like a lot of you. That was a generation where we broke all the rules and threw the rule book out the window. And I think the attitude often of the 60s and 70s and us that grew up and kind of, and I think there are eras where there's spirits involved. So it's my theology. I believe that with all my heart. I believe there's eras of time where there's certain spirits that are prevalent. Let me say, that's a good way to say it, actually. There are eras of time where certain spirits are prevalent. In the 60s and 70s, it was an age of rebellion. Nobody's going to tell me. All the rules out the window. Pastor Bishop used to say, the problem with the present generation is that all the people that grew up in rebellion are now parents and grandparents. And we're reaping the result of that. And I grew up in the 60s and 70s and that era of no one's going to tell me, I'll do it my way. A theme in American culture, especially a focus on self, that we are the center, where the scripture teaches that God is first, our neighbor, our brother is second, and we are third. But you're number one. That's the themes that I grew up in. And many of you did too. God wants to bring the sweet oil of the Holy Spirit to these jars of clay. We're made of flesh. We're made of dust. We're made of what we walk on. But God chooses as we say yes and are willing to, we're willing in the emptying process. We can set our jaw and say, nobody's going to tell me. But when we're willing to empty, God will replace that with the sweet Holy Spirit. And the more that we put out, the more He will fill. 1 Samuel 15:23 says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Lord, squeeze the rebellion out of me. I had someone at the altar one time tell me, I know I'm rebellious. I see it in myself. And as we walk with God and He shines the spotlight of His Word upon us, it reveals who we are. Truth, the light of truth reveals who we are. Emptying our jars. Don't know why these stood out to me. There's 20 that could be on here. I'm going to say a couple more things, and then I'm going to close. My plans, my career, feel like this is for somebody. nothing wrong with having plans, and maybe you've planned a career, but when you come in under the umbrella of God's grace, when you become part of the kingdom and part of the Christian family, there's a surrender that goes with that and an emptying of what I want and what I planned. Every day when I pray on my walk, I say, Lord, there's a prayer, an umbrella that's over every single thing I say. And that is, not my will, thine be done, because the ways of the Lord are perfect. Not my will, thine be done, because the ways of the Lord are perfect. Sometimes God calls us to surrender our career. He did that with me. I had plans, I had ambitions, I had things that I wanted to do and be, and sometimes God works with that, and sometimes that's painful, emptying that out. And coming to our own Gethsemane, did you know that each of us have to come to a Gethsemane? Jesus himself sweat, as it were, great drops of blood and said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I want, but what you want. And God is bringing each of us to a Gethsemane, the emptying of my plans. And maybe God wants you to pursue the career that you're pursuing. I don't know those things. But he still wants it surrendered to him. But I feel that's for someone this morning. I feel to be effectively filled with the Holy Spirit, we have to surrender our unanswered questions. Life's unfairness. I've said this in a variety of ways from this spot several times this last year, but I think it applies very much to our group. Many of us have been through hard and difficult circumstances. Things have happened in our life we don't understand. Pains have happened to us, even in childhood, that we've never been able to get our brains around it. I have things that I have dealt with people that to this day, at 60 years old and walking with the Lord 42 years, I can't get my brain around it. And I'm thinking, how could that have happened? I can't get my brain around it. But I believe that one of the jars that has to be emptied is our unanswered questions. Where we say, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't understand this. I don't understand this. I don't understand why I'm 42 years old and I'm still struggling with this. I don't understand this. I don't understand this. But Lord, you know what? I want the sweet oil of the Holy Spirit. I want the direction of the Holy Spirit. I want the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I want the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit on my life. And Lord, we're going to dump this out, and we're going to put it at the feet of the cross. And I think there's a time to bring our unanswered questions to the feet of the cross. There's things that all of us don't understand. Life in a cursed world is not always fair. But you won't meet your potential if you don't empty the unanswered questions. Does that make sense? You won't meet your potential. I need to close. It's 25 to 12. There's 20 or 30 things that have come to my mind and that could be on the list of emptying the jars, but I believe for today that's what I'm to have. Don't rush the process. The family raising years, raising small children can be a huge emptying time in our lives. The frustrations and pressures of raising a family and making ends meet and all that goes and working cooperatively with our spouse and all of that can squeeze us and put the pressure on and bring things out of us that need exposed. And God doesn't get frustrated with that. He doesn't give up on us. When I grabbed that guy in Kroger's that day and shoved him up against the wall in the back room and nearly lost my job, I thought God had given up on me probably. And I wouldn't have blamed him. What I didn't know is that wasn't the end. That was the beginning of me getting through something that I needed to get through a long time before that. You with me? That wasn't the end. That was the beginning. God doesn't fall off his throne when we have problems. He knew that when he bought into us. Can I say that again? God doesn't fall off the throne when we have problems. He knew that when he bought into us. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. He expected us to have problems. But the truth is, he wants to fill us with the sweet oil. But we got to hand him some empty jars. You can't say, fill me, Lord. Here's my rebellion jar. Just pour it in. No, we got to empty that out. And what makes that emptying process happen? It's the pressures. But God doesn't fall off the throne. We make mistakes. He's saying, you're getting it. You know what I think God probably said that day I pushed that guy up against the wall? I was feeling horrible. I never felt worse in my life. I think he was probably saying, there. Now, you really see how angry you are. Now, let's get on with it. Let's deal with it. Because that coming out, when I'd been speaking in churches and leading Bible studies and people coming back on their break and asking me Bible questions, and I felt I had totally destroyed my testimony, that coming out revealed what was really going inside of me and was the beginning of God doing some extraordinary things within me. And I know that the verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17, is true, that you're a new creation in Christ. Old things pass away, all things become new. I don't mean this boastfully, and I don't want to be tested on this afternoon. But I can't think of the last time I really got mad. I don't want to get tested on that this afternoon. But old things pass away. And they do become new. But we got to be willing to empty and go through the process. So, I'll end with what I started with. I told you it's a simple message. Don't settle for less. I bet when that oil stopped, that gal thought, shoot, why didn't I put out 40 jars? Why didn't I put out 40 jars? That was just pouring like crazy. And I said, where's another jar? And they said, that's all we borrowed. You can sell yourself short. Go ahead. Borrow a whole bunch of jars. He'll keep filling it. Don't settle for less. But don't rush the emptying process either. It's a valuable, valuable time. Let's stand together for prayer. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your Spirit. I'd ask, Lord, too, that you would reveal to us anything we need to see. I'll say that again, Lord. Reveal to us anything we need to see. I sense in this service this morning that something's subduing us. There's something subduing us this morning. I don't know if there's something not right with leadership. Something. Lord, if it's in me, you want to empty it. Not aware of it. If it's in me, I sense something subduing us this morning in spiritual warfare. There's something wrong in the leadership. There's something wrong. I ask you to reveal that. We haven't got time to fall short of what you want to do among us. We don't want to settle for less as a church. And you know, Lord, I had no intentions of saying that, but I felt it all throughout the service. I don't know if there's a spirit that isn't right, if there's something brewing, if there's something undercurrent, there's something. But I feel it all morning. Don't let us settle for less than what you'd have us to be as a church. Help us to be honest and truthful about where we are, recognizing that you meet us where we are. I ask again, Lord, if there's anything that's with me that's left to center, reveal that to me this week. I'm open, putting our heart and soul into this ministry. We want it to be what it's supposed to be. Watch over us this afternoon. Use these truths in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.